Please be seated. So we're here on the third Sunday. Oh, there's something wrong here.
Yes.
What? What is wrong?
The pink candle.
We need to fix. Why is the pink candle on this Sunday? What?
The program says so.
Who?
The program says so.
But why?
And there's a picture.
Yes. Why? Why do we have pink?
I thought it was a special Sunday for Mary.
Huh?
Is it special Sunday for Mary?
It's a special Sunday for Mary?
That's what I heard.
Is okay. That could be. I like that. Anyone? Joy. Joy, yeah. This Sunday was called in Latin, they call it, I believe, Gaudete Sunday, which is the Sunday of rejoicing. So the rest of the Sundays were a little bit more somber. Let us prepare. Let us get ready. And it's a little bit of work. But then one Sunday in the middle, when we do the same for Lent, in the middle of Lent, there's also a pink Sunday, which is a little bit of relief. It's like saying, very serious, we're getting ready, but let's lighten up the thing a little bit in the middle, right? And that's why you notice there's some flowers. We haven't had flowers. Have you noticed it?
Yeah.
Now we have flowers. So it's sort of like a saying, we're in the middle of it. We're halfway through. A little bit of relax. Let's celebrate. Let's get ready, but we're just in the middle of the trajectory, of the journey. So this is the third Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing. And we've been looking at the themes throughout the Advent. The first Sunday, what was the word that we...
Awake.
Awake, right? Be awake, remain awake was the call of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew. I think it's a very basic invitation of all spirituality, not only in Christianity, but in other religions, to be awake. To be an awakened people. And that is what Christ was telling. Keep awake. The second Sunday, we heard about who? The prophets. How do we remain awake? Oh, we have men, women who keep us awake. Some are very gentle and soft, like Isaiah. That is, he gives us comfort. He says, comfort my people, comfort. And he's a gentle guy. At least the first Isaiah. There's other Isaiahs that are a little bit more stronger. But there's some people that need that. And others are like who?
John
the Baptist, who was probably not someone we would invite to a dinner party, I was saying, remember? But sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need a prophet that shakes us in the ground, that shakes us up. Martin Luther King Jr. was someone like that. He wakened it up. And he called things like, this is wrong. Even though it caught a lot of disturbance in people in churches. So that was the second Sunday, the prophets. The third Sunday, the scripture readings keep us in this, the role of the prophets. And John the Baptist is again mentioned in the gospel of today.
Gaudiamus.
Gaudiamus. What is that? Huh? Gaudiamus igitur. That's a hymn. Okay. Rejoice, rejoice. So that was in the old Latin Mass. The first words were, rejoice, we're getting ready for Christmas. And today I would like to focus on Mary. Now some of you, where did Mary appear in the readings today? Did you see her anywhere? In the song, yeah. Did you got that? So I'm doing a little bit of, I'm cheating here a little bit. I don't want to bring Mary. The psalm that was really not a psalm, it's the Canticle of Mary. We sung it. It's between the first reading and the second reading. Do you know how that song is called? There's a name for it. The Magnificat. And there's beautiful music compositions around the Magnificat. And it's the Canticle of Mary. And I wanted to underline it because I think We have John the Baptist, Isaiah, many men. But I believe Mary has a unique voice as a prophet. Mary has this powerful hymn that she erupts in song. And we use it in the Episcopal Church and the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church and the Presbyterian. Many churches use this hymn for the evening prayer. When I was a Roman Catholic, we would say this hymn every single evening for evening prayer. In our Book of Common Prayer, the Magnificat is the hymn for evening. How does Mary appear here? What do you notice of Mary here as a prophet? What does she say? Anyone have an inkling?
The rich will be sent away empty, and the hungry will be filled with good food and good things. And she's right there.
The voice of Mary is not the typical Mary we know of, like this humble and gentle lady. She has this strength, and she proclaims how God's will be transforming our whole world. And that is what I wanted to focus today, and I'm going to invite someone soon, but to go from be awake, transform your hearts, the voice of the prophets, transform yourself. But then there's a third step. We cannot just rest and say, I'm transformed. I'm a new person. What is needed? Action. How are we to transform our world, our community? So you see the progression? So Jesus in the first Sunday says, awake, awake. Second Sunday we have the prophets, repent, which the word truly might be better translated today is change your hearts and your minds to God's will. And then the third I wanted to present is how can we transform the world around us? And Mary, in today's song of the Magnificat, says it beautifully. First she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of her servant. The Mighty One has done great things for me. And I've always been touched by Mary, like being surprised. God has looked with favor on the lowliness of her servant. And I think she noticed, I'm this little girl, this young woman. And by the way, I'll be putting up these paintings that Michael Armenia gifted us to the church. They're over 100 years old. 1899. And this is it's a printing of the Magnificat. The Annunciation, Mary in this humbleness. And it's a beautiful picture because Mary is sitting on the floor and she has her head, I'll put it back there and you'll see it when you go out. And she has her hands just like this on the floor, her eyes closed and just bowed. So she recognized, I'm just this little girl, young girl, simple family, and God noticed me? I think it's like this surprise, like, really? I'm nothing? I've been told that I'm nothing, I'm a woman, I don't count, and God has looked upon me? God has done so many things for me? But she doesn't remain there. She doesn't say, God has done great things for me. What does she do then? Then she announces, she goes from the personal to the community. She goes from how God has done things for me, and then she just imagines a world that is different from the world she was experiencing, which was a world of oppression, of suffering. And what she says is, God has scattered the proud in their hearts, brought down the powerful and lifted the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. So in this vein of how important our inner transformation is, but we cannot forget about the importance of our community, I would like to invite Luann to guide us in a meditation, a sharing of some words. And I'm going to leave this in the back so y'all can see it. We'll hang it somewhere around here.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. This morning, as we sit together in one of the darkest mornings of the year, as the sun comes pouring in, those opposites, I want to reflect on the light that is Emmanuel, the light that drew you here on this dark morning. In our stewardship letter, we asked you each to consider a stretch from your heart to give your time, talent, and treasure to Emmanuel, to keep the heart of Emmanuel beating, or in other words, to keep the light of Emmanuel aglow. Many of you have made your pledge. Thank you deeply. And we are so grateful for all the ways you each make this happen, day in and day out. We may not be conscious of all the ways we give to the light that is Emmanuel, which is a beacon to so many in so many ways. So here's the question. How are we called to keep the light of Emmanuel aglow? John O'Donohue says, "There is a quiet light that shines in every heart. It draws no attention to itself, though it is always secretly there. It is what illuminates our minds to see beauty, our desire to seek possibility, and our hearts to love life. Without this subtle quickening, our days would be empty and wearisome, and no horizon would ever awaken our longing. Our passion for life is quietly sustained from somewhere in us that is wedded to the energy and excitement of life. This shy inner light is what enables us to recognize and receive our very presence here as blessing." So, I invite you now to find a comfortable spot with your feet flat on the floor and find that place, and we'll begin with a meditation. A breath in and slowly breathe out. And you can close your eyes or focus your gaze on one small area. And start by relaxing your muscles. When thoughts come to mind, disregard them, thinking, or oh well, and turn your attention back to your body. Let your muscles become loose and relaxed, starting with your feet, your ankles, your lower legs, knees, upper legs, pelvis, torso, back, shoulders, arms, hands, face, and head. Feel your body loose and relaxed. Turn your attention now to your breathing. Notice each breath, without trying to change your breathing in any way, just observe. As thoughts arise, acknowledge them, and let them go, returning your attention to your breathing. Breathe naturally, slowly. As your thoughts wander, simply return your attention to your breath. Notice your breath as it flows gently in and out of your body without any effort. Acknowledge your thoughts and focus again on your breathing. Interruptions are normal. Just let these thoughts go and return your attention to your breathing. As your thoughts wander, bring your attention again to your breath. Now slowly begin to reawaken. Again, turn your attention to your breathing. Notice your calm, smooth breaths in and out. Allow your awareness to return to your body, calm and relaxed. Notice how your body feels. Become more aware of your surroundings. Let your attention turn now to your thoughts. Back to normal conscious awareness, normal attention to thoughts. Sit quietly for a moment with your eyes open, enjoying the feeling of relaxation while gradually reawakening. Adjust your position if you need to do that. And reflect upon the experience of a meditation. Notice what it was like. Notice how you feel now. Free from worries about how well you did. Knowing that whatever happened was the correct and natural response. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Roll your shoulders. Stretch if you like. And when you are ready, you have a little slip of paper. Think about maybe what came up for you during this meditation and write on that paper what Emmanuel means to you in a word or few words. Where Emmanuel has offered you a light or a new perspective in darkness, how have you shown up or stretched to offer your shy inner light? When or how have you been moved this year by the love that is Emmanuel? What you're grateful for. Give you a few minutes to do that, and then I want to close with another poem by John O'Donohue. For light. Light cannot see inside things. That is what the dark is for, minding the interior, nurturing the draw of growth through places where death in its own way turns into life. In the glare of neon times, let our eyes not be worn by surfaces that shine with hunger made attractive. That our thoughts may be true light, finding their way into words which have the weight of shadow to hold the layers of truth. That we never place our trust in minds claimed by empty light, where one-sided certainties are driven by false desire. When we look into the heart, may our eyes have the kindness and reverence of candlelight. That the searching of our minds be equal to the oblique crevices and corners where the mystery continues to dwell, glimmering in fugitive light. When we are confined inside the dark house of suffering, that moonlight may find a window. When we become false and lost, that the severe noonlight would cast our shadow clear. When we love, that dawn light would lighten our feet upon the waters. As we grow old, that twilight would illuminate treasure in the fields of memory. And when we come to search for God, let us first be robed in night. Put on the mind of morning to feel the rush of light spread slowly inside the color and stillness of a found world. So, thank you again for being you, for teaching me, and we will continue with picking up the little slips of paper, and you will perhaps see them in a different light in the future, near future.
You want to collect them? No, Mimi, thank you, Mimi and Luann, for helping us reflect on the value of community, the grace and the gift of community, and for us in particular, the gift that you all are to each other. I invite you now to stand as you're able and to say together on page 7 the affirmation of faith.